Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Joe Flacco was traded today to the Bengals. He goes from Cleveland to the Bengals. Not a lot involved here, but the Bengals are in desperate need of some better quarterback play. So the Browns go, we're going to go with the kids. That's Dylan Gabriel. That, of course, is Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur now is elevated to the number two quarterback. It's something we've been talking about today here on the show as we get ready for the Falcons and Bills.
In case you're wondering, Cincinnati's sending a fifth rounder and they get a sixth rounder back along with Flacco. So, and that's Flacco. I mean, we always felt like Kirk Cousins maybe could get us a third rounder, fourth rounder. Carl's of the opinion there maybe they're just going to let him hang here.
Are you guys willing to tell me, and Connor, we're going to get to Connor Riley here and talk dogs. You guys willing to tell me nobody's called about Kirk Cousins? Nobody?
The Bengals seem to be the most logical one. And yes, Kirk Cousins at this stage of his career, completely healed from the Achilles, is a better option than Joe Flacco.
He is. He is. And despite what you might think of him, a guy said, oh, Dukes, he's washed. He's not washed like this.
Unless we were sticking to our guns that the Bengals would have to eat a big chunk of that contract. Yeah. If they had, and they didn't have the wherewithal, then that's it.
All right, and I don't know. I'm just speculating. Let's talk dogs.
Muckraker.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, Connor Riley. Tell me, I know Kirby spoke today, but before we get to the Auburn stuff, what did you make of the performance against Kentucky? I don't know. I was just lacking something, Connor. I don't know what it was. Did you feel this way, or are you totally satisfied with how they played?
I'm totally satisfied with how they played. They got up to an early lead. This was the first game against a Power 4 opponent that they led at halftime since October of last year against Texas. They took care of business. You know, yes, Gunner reception in the second quarter on a throw you wouldn't have liked to see, especially on first down. But defense forced a turnover in the second half. Other than the pass rush, which we're going to learn a ton about this week when they play Auburn, I thought it was very get in, get out, get an easy win. Something Georgia just hasn't had a ton of late. And so in that sense, you know, they did everything I think they needed to. I wasn't looking for them to go out there and score 55 points against a Kentucky team. That's not going to change the way I think we feel about this team. So from that standpoint, they did everything I think they wanted to on Saturday and got out of there with a comfortable win.
You know, we spent a lot of time on Gunnar Stockton and yesterday because I get to see Carson Beck up close and personal on Saturday night. It looked great. He seems, and there's a lot of videos out there, some from Dog Nation, seen some other fan sites, Connor, where Gunner's just not seeing some open receivers. So Bobo is scheming guys open, but Gunner, at least from what I've seen, isn't picking it up. You vibe that?
Yeah, and I think Kirby had some very interesting comments to make after the game on Saturday where they want to see him be a little bit more aggressive in terms of putting the ball in the air. And I think that, you know, that's something we're coming into this game. I know we had talked about he hadn't thrown an interception yet. And you almost wonder if maybe he had been trying to be too careful when it comes to that. I do think Mike Bobo has done a very good job with this offense this year and putting the pieces in place to be successful. Obviously, they've done a great job running the football. I think that there are plays to be made. And I think as Gunner, you know, again, we are moving out of the territory where we can say he's no longer an inexperienced starter. I'll be interested in seeing how he goes on the road this week at Auburn, a team that has a very good pass rush, and how they choose to defend him. I think this is going to be a very interesting test for Gunner this week because I do think that there are going to be plays that he can make in this game, but he's got to make them with his arm because I think we know what we're getting from him with his legs at this point in time.
All right, what about this O-line? What's the update? Who's healthy? Who's not? What's the situation heading into Auburn week?
Yeah, it sounds like Monroe Feeling avoided significant injury against Auburn, against Kentucky, left in the first quarter with an ankle injury, not going to need tightrope surgery. I think he's going to be questionable over the course of the week, and they're going to see how close he can go on Saturday. This is an Auburn pass rush. I think this is the real strength of their team other than their wide receivers. And Kedrick Falk is a guy who's going to be a first-round pick next April. This is a game where if you're Monroe Feeling, you need to be as close to 100% as you can be. I'd be surprised if we see Ernest Green this week if he continues to deal with a back injury. But Michael Morris sounds like he's good to go. He's dealing with a variety of injuries, but he's hurt, not injured, and thus able to play through them. And I think this offensive line, you know, it's obviously been a serious conversation starter, but I think with what you've seen from Juan Gaston, what you've seen with Dontrell Glover, the way that this group has gotten better in spite of all these injuries, it's been impressive with what Stacey Searles has done to this point. And if they play well on Saturday, I think that really encourages you for what this team might be able to accomplish over the second half of the season. But they've got a major test on their hands, and they may well be without their starting left tackle.
The usage rate for the studs, you know, we talked about, you know, not just the recruiting, the five stars, the transfer portal guys. Are the young defenders that were a lot of expectations about these guys going to have to grow up quick? Are they on schedule? Was it just too much of an ask? I know you made a great point last week. You always felt there was a ceiling with this team because it was so young.
Yeah, and so I think in some spots you're seeing that. Like I think Ellis Robinson and DeMello Jones, the last week in particular against Kentucky, maybe the last 2 weeks for DeMello, are really starting to turn the corner and start to look like SEC-level defensive backs. And obviously they're going to face better passing offenses than they did against Kentucky, but you start to see there. Justin Williams is a sophomore who I think looked really good last week and is another linebacker and another weapon that they can play with there in the middle of that defense. And if he's able to emerge, I think that frees you up to do a little bit more with Chris Cole, who is just this team's best pass rusher. I think on the defensive line, you're seeing some good things out of Elijah Griffin. He's sort of rounding into form there. They're still very young on this defense, and I think just in terms of what they might be able to do, they're going to be limited in that sense over the course of the season. But last week against Kentucky, and this is where getting out to a big lead helped, it allowed you to play so many different guys and get guys key reps. And that's just something, because they weren't blowing teams out last season, they just didn't really get a chance to do a whole lot. And I think that's going to help, maybe not necessarily this week on the road at Auburn, but down the line as this team gets more and more experience.
What do you think about the third downs? I heard Kirby talking about, well, they were not great on third down. He wants to be better on third down. What do you think they're lacking there, and what's the situation?
Yeah, I think part of that was late in the game that second-string defense gave up some plays that he was not thrilled with, took some plays away from the offensive side of the ball. Because statistically, 3 of 11 defensively, limiting Kentucky in that regard. I believe 9 of 12 when they had the ball on the offensive side of the ball. So statistically, they're doing things better. I think the big thing that you saw against Kentucky, they were able to get into third and manageable, third and short, and from there, use Gunner's legs to pick up first downs. He had a couple of those. Obviously, he had a touchdown run in the red zone there as well. And so when we talk about staying on schedule and running the football, if Georgia's able to find themselves consistently in third and shorts where they're not going to have to be put in obvious passing situations, I think that's going to make life much, much easier for Gunnar Stockton. And more importantly, it's going to make this Georgia offense much more dangerous because that allows you to go on long drives, play ball control. I think that's a big reason Alabama has been so successful this season is they've sort of realized, hey, you know, our defense may not be what it needs to be. We're going to play ball control offense and really keep the ball out of the opposing team's hands. And I think you're starting to see Georgia pick up on that and use that as well.
It's a Connor Riley, guys. K. Connor Riley from Dog Nation, if you follow him on Twitter. Auburn, I felt they got really hosed against a good Oklahoma defense. Their defense, I mean, maybe it's kind of like, I don't know, a lunch pail group. Their defensive stop rate is 31st in the country for you nerds out there. But what do you make of what Auburn's going to try to do this weekend?
I'm very interested in seeing how Auburn starts this game because, look, that place is going to be rocking. For those that have been there, when that place is right, Jordan-Hare is one of, if not the best environments in the SEC. But, you know, you talk about the defense. I thought they played really well against Oklahoma. I thought they played really well against Texas A&M. Both those games were on the road. But if Georgia's able to start fast, something they've been a little bit better at than maybe people are willing to realize right now, and Georgia's able to get out to a 10-0 lead, maybe a 14-0 lead or something like that, and this Auburn offense starts slow, I really wonder and worry about what we're going to see with this Auburn program because against Texas A&M, they didn't convert a third down at all. That's really hard to do, especially when you have a mobile quarterback like Jackson Arnold. Auburn leads the country in sacks allowed 21 through 5 games. It is something where if this offense struggles again on Saturday against a Georgia that, look, for what they gave up against Alabama, I think they did a really good job stopping the run. That's been something they've been great at this season. And if you're putting Auburn in third and longs, well, yes, they have great receivers, Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton Jr. If you're putting him in third and longs consistently, that's going to make life really difficult on offense that hasn't necessarily been able to get out of their own way. So while, yes, this game is at home, how Auburn starts offensively and thus how Georgia starts defensively, I think is going to have a massive impact in showing what this game ultimately can end up being.
All right. Quarterback concerns with their quarterback? What do you think there? And look, how dynamic can he be? I don't know if he's played his best game yet, but he does pose some problems.
Yeah, look, he's a mobile threat. He's a guy that, look, he beat Alabama last year when Oklahoma hosted Alabama. This is a guy that is capable of making big plays in big games. He's been incredibly limited as a passer, in my opinion. He holds on to the ball for a bit too long. Hugh Freeze has even talked about and acknowledged that. I think that's the reason why the sacks are what they are. Coming out of a bye, you expect to see some different looks and things change a little bit. I don't quite yet think we're going to see Deuce Knight, Auburn's talented freshman quarterback, get inserted at this point in time. But this is a massive, massive game for Hugh Freeze in this Auburn program. They need a win like this. The fact that they had a bye last week, the fact that they get this game at night, the fact that they're retiring Cam Newton's jersey at halftime of this game.
Oh,
this is all sort of things that, you know, you try and line up to get and pull a big upset like this.
It's the Deep South. I mean, like the South. No one gives a crap about Virginia and North Carolina. It's the Deep South, the South's oldest rivalry. But it's been so one-sided. You know, that's the thing. I mean, is Connor, it's a trap, Carl.
It is.
I mean, you got to go back, as you said, I think 17, the last time that they got it done. Of course, Georgia fans remember the tip. Franklin was quarterback that year. And, of course, Cam just, you know, made everything happen in 2010. But, yeah, and I agree. We've said this a million times, Connor. I don't know. You've traveled all over the SEC. You brought this up. The acoustics, something about Jordan-Hare. I don't know if it's the extended glass and the suites or whatever. It just seems like it's louder than any other stadium.
It is a place where, when it is right, it is as hard to win as any place in this league. But I think there have been times where, because this Auburn program has fallen off, I think I saw the stat the other day, Georgia since 2021 is 57-6. In each of the, since 2021, Auburn has lost at least six games in three of the last four seasons. And so it speaks to, I think, where these programs are headed. And, you know, look, Georgia's got a lot of border rivalries. You know, you make a case for Tennessee, Florida, Georgia Tech. Auburn is certainly one in there, but this one has been so dominated and so one-sided where, like, you have to go back 20 years to the last time Auburn won in Sanford Stadium. But when this game has been played, Jordan-Hare, it's been a little bit closer. The 21 team was the only one that really made that a comfortable win in that regard, the only one that's been decided by more than 7 points in Georgia's favor in Kirby Smart's tenure. And so I think Auburn, with all that surrounds this game, knows that they really need to get a win in this situation, given they've already lost two SEC teams. And if you go 0-3 against Oklahoma, A&M, and Georgia, knowing you still got Alabama on your schedule later, you've got a talented Missouri team, Vanderbilt once again, it could once again be a long season. And this is another year for Hugh Freeze where you can't afford to keep taking these losses.
Connor, we talked about this yesterday on the show. I think Miami's the best team in the country. Long way to go. We'll see. But part of this is the way Carson Beck is playing. Who's your best team in the country right now? Is it, in fact, Ohio State? Because I look at these rankings, and I just don't know how much better Oregon is over Texas A&M, over Ole Miss, over it's just hard for me to quantify at this point. What do you think?
Based on what I have seen and been able to watch and to trying my best to consider resumes, knowing obviously everyone's not going to be equal, I agree with you, Carl. I think Miami has been the most impressive team in college football this year. And that's even when considering, I think, Mario Cristobal in the second half of these games just sort of downshifting and going way too conservative, in my opinion. I do think maybe at some point that gets Miami beat. And look, Miami's had a lot of trouble closing out games in recent years. But with what you've seen, with how great they are, and I use great, not good, on both lines of scrimmage, on the offensive line and the defensive line, where, you know, Carson Beck is obviously, being the quarterback, going to get a lot of Heisman love. He might be the third best player on that team behind Reuben Bain, Francis Moraga, the right tackle. And I would even throw their freshman wide receiver, Malachi Toley, in there. That guy has been dynamic. And so when you're asking Carson to not be the best player on your team, like I think it was the case at Georgia in 2023, but not the case in 2024, you see just how effective and just how good he can be as a quarterback for your team. So Ohio State's right up there. We're going to learn a little bit more about them as the season progresses. But right now, to this point in the year, as we get to the halfway point, I do have Miami as the best team in college football.
Saw it in person. There, DC, by the way, said that Castellanos was missing open receivers. Mm. There were some plays there in the first three quarters. They started hitting late. But to your point, yeah, that's as long as Cristobal doesn't blow the game in game. Georgia Tech fans know what that looks like. You know, then obviously that team is loaded.
Yeah, and again, like their schedule, for as good as it has been thus far, where like you know Notre Dame is a quality win at home. At Florida State, you were there, Mike. Tough place to play, especially where it seems like that program's been re-energized a little bit. You know, they get Miami, or they get Louisville on a Friday night, I believe next week, where that game, you know, Louisville's a competent team. I know they lost to Virginia last week, but after that, the Miami schedule gets very easy. So this is a team where, yeah, if they take care of business, they're going to be in the college football playoff. The problem is that last year with a Heisman Trophy winner in Cam Ward, all they had to do is take care of business, and they found a way late in November, right, lose at Georgia Tech, lose at...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Syracuse, two games that they should have won, two teams they were better than. And so, to your point, that's where Mario Cristobal sort of has to put it together and really put forth a complete season where, you know, I do think that this is a Miami program where I think it's more important for them to go undefeated than just win the ACC and get into the college football playoff.
I agree. Connor, tell the people where they can follow your stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. Big game this week. Georgia going down to the Plains. Super looking forward to being there.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one, man. Thanks so much, Connor. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.